Coming up next on KBOO News In Depth, we'll hear the voices of Palestinians and their supporters in Portland, Oregon, who held a rally on May 15th, 2021, to commemorate the Palestinian Nakba, or catastrophe, and to call for an end to the Israeli attacks that are ongoing.
On the Multnomah and Clackamas Chinookan people's land, the stolen land of the Multnomah and Clackamas Chinookan people, specifically right here. These people have stewarded the land from time immemorial. And we must acknowledge that we are here settled on stolen land. We must take that message to every podium and in every table of discussion to remember, as Palestinians, we will always stand with you in your struggle for decolonization. We thank you for allowing us to be here. It is easy to believe anything when you ignore history and the voices of the oppressed. It is easy to accept the unacceptable, the atrocious, when you dehumanize the victims of atrocity. It is easy to claim you did not see what is plainly in broad daylight when you actively uplift and support the mechanisms that place the veil before your eyes. That ignoring, that dehumanizing, that veil is for you to live easily while our people are ripped from our lands and livelihoods. That ignoring, that dehumanizing, that veil makes it easy for you to actually participate and support the uprooting of our people. It has always been about one thing in the U.S., to aid in imperialism everywhere, because it is easier than not. We're here today, as we have always been as Palestinians in the diaspora, here to make it difficult for you to remain silent. Difficult to go back to your ignoring and your claims of ignorance. Al-Nakba, an Arabic word that means the catastrophe, has been memorialized in Palestinian hearts and minds to describe the events that occurred between 1947 and 1949 in order to create the Zionist occupation state of Israel, which declared its colonialist occupation one sovereignty in April of 1948. Between 1947 and 1949, upwards of 800,000 Palestinians were forcefully displaced, fled for their lives, lost their homes, their land, their livelihoods, their dreams, their future dreams, as the fledgling occupation state violently sieged and occupied over 400 villages across Palestine. At that time, Palestinians found themselves landless, houseless, and without agency, seeking refuge in the still unoccupied parts of Palestine, in Jordan, in Syria, and other parts of the Arab world. They walked with their possessions, holding and supporting their elders up, carrying their children, many recently widowed due to the massacres, seeking refuge wherever it may be. They found tent camps, temporary accommodations, and for many, only the never-ending road. The fate of 1948 Palestinians, as we call them, was in the hands of others, and their trajectories and displacement was diverse. For many with hands full of the few heirlooms they might have been lucky enough to grab, especially keys to their homes, which they harbored a hope to return to, this was the last time that they saw their beloved land. Them and their future descendants would never see Palestine. Us Palestinians commemorate and mourn the losses, but we also resist the illegitimate narrative of the occupier today. We do so every year, Nakba Day. Today you will hear stories of the Nakba and what that means to Palestinians here in your city, what they and their families experience in relation to the Nakba, but also how they continue to experience it. It's important to realize that the Nakba, the very process by which we are discriminated against, dispossessed, displaced, brutalized, and murdered is the same in every event that Palestinians experience in occupied Palestine at the hands of the occupation state. And in every event, we Palestinians resist, we fight for liberation, we struggle to decolonize, and persist in our indigenous existence. We resist events like the 1967 Nexa, or we resist within events like the First Intifada of 87 through 93, or in the Second Intifada, and every instance of incomparable violence towards Gaza. Gaza, who has been blockaded since June of 2007, Gaza, where an absolute military strangulation and an inhumane siege by air, land, and sea has caused thousands of innocent casualties and is the cornerstone of punishing the Palestinian people for resistance and self-defense. Now, I ask you to listen to the stories. Listen to the stories and the voices of Palestinian people. Free, free Palestine!
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 Hello everyone, my name is Hedda Zahar. My pronouns are she, they, and I'm a Palestinian who has grown up in Portland and a member of Hurriya Collective. A member of Hurriya Collective, an anti-imperialist Muslim collective who are organizing around Islamophobia, militarism, state-sanctioned violence, and the alarming rise of fascism in the US and around the world. I want to tell you today about my family stories, about the village they lived in Palestine, and the generational impact of settler colonialism. My family comes from farmers in Jaffa. The village of Al-Abbasiyya was covered in rows of olive trees and orange groves. Al-Abbasiyya land was central to life, as it was all over Palestine. Sorry. The land nurtured us, fed us, sheltered us, clothed us. We cared for it, and it cared for us. In Palestinian villages, we lived collectively. Your neighbor was someone to borrow a cup of sugar from, a babysitter, someone to have tea with, a source of protection. My great-grandfather was the mayor of the village during the Nakba. From what my grandmother has told me, he loved his job. He was a person people went to with problems, big or small. And it wasn't that his position had dictative authority or final say in all matters, but we were able to utilize everyone's strengths and knew everyone's needs so we could all survive and thrive together. They protected each other from the settler and state violence caused by Zionist settler colonialism that was invading from the east. Racist Zionist mobs attacked the village over and over again to scare the inhabitants into leaving. There were car bombings, grenades thrown into houses, and Zionist mobs broke into homes to kill and displace the families who lived there. The horror. The same horrors of 48 are now being recorded and shared by the descendants of 48 and 67 refugees. The Nakba is ongoing and the U.S. is funding it. In May of 1948, an Abbasiyya was ethnically cleansed of Palestinians. All that is left of the village today after settlers destroyed it is part of the village mosque and the Nabi Huda shrine. The village was taken over for and by settlers to make it their traveling through routes easier between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. My great-grandfather was responsible for making sure everyone in the village was able to escape, and they headed east towards safety. Everyone had what they could carry in a wagon or in arms as they walked from Jaffa to the Jordanian border. All the village people thought they would return in 2 weeks. That's what my grandmother always told me. They held the keys, they had everything, they barely took anything with them because they knew they were going back. No one thought they would be locked out of their homes or forced to live in exile as refugees in Jordan for 73 years. Not only were they starting anew, but Zarqa, Jordan was a much bigger city than Al-Abbasiyya was, and my family and the other people from the village had to adapt to an entirely new way of living in the world and in relation to the land. My grandmother once told me that my great-grandfather in Jordan, just a few months after settlers displaced them, realized everything was gone. He wasn't mayor anymore. He had the skills of a farmer and a relationship with the land that he mourned. This wasn't a small village where everyone knew each other and survived together. He had the keys to his home in Palestine, but he couldn't go inside. In 1970, the Jordanian government became an active resistor against our growing liberation movement. They kidnapped and jailed Palestinian men in Jordan and kept the women and children in houses. My grandpa told me there would be hundreds of them locked up together with no access to food or water or clean bathrooms to make sure none of the Palestinian men were able to fight back. Outside of those houses and jails, the Jordanian government was bombing to weed out weapons in residential buildings. My maternal grandmother was nearly killed twice by Jordanian soldiers during this time. Once a Jordanian soldier violently grabbed all the Palestinian women and children, rounded them up outside, and pointed his weapon at him. The only reason he didn't shoot was because another soldier called out his name and asked for help. The second time she almost died was when she had to escape the house with others in the middle of the night to get to safety. And a Jordanian soldier found her escaping and put a gun to her back as he questioned who she was and what she was doing. She had to lie and say she was Jordanian, that her husband was also a soldier. She tells that story honestly with a lot of laughs because she had actually gone back to the house to grab her jewelry because she was a newlywed bride and she did not want that to go to waste, her new gold. The Nakba is ongoing because we know that the Zionist state does not just want to displace us from our lands, but to ethnically cleanse our people. This is why my great-grandparents and grandparents were forcibly removed from their homes and villages, and why my grandparents were subjected to so much fear and state violence in Jordan. My mom remembers when you saw older Palestinians from 48 in Jordan, everyone was in mourning and there was a numbness. Nakba is ongoing because we have been repeatedly displaced from every place we might have found a refuge and have been left with no homes at all. In Jordan, my mother remembers the fear of being caught, and the pain of being without a home was present in every living room, classroom, and masjid. My mom used to tell me that living right next to the Zionist state, she often went to bed thinking, are they going to come for us again? They had been in Jordan for decades, but there's a striking pain from knowing you can't go home because an occupying army and their henchmen will not let you. When I went to Jordan and learned more about my people's history, what she lived through became clear to me. My grandparents were physically present, but their hearts and minds were in Palestine. That was also the first time that I knew our erasure was not going to be as easy as our oppressors had hoped. A goal of Zionism is fragmentation. Fragmentation of unity and pride in our country. While the U.S., Israel, and its accomplices conduct a media blackout on the protests and uprisings happening in occupied Palestine and globally in solidarity, our scattered siblings in Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon have been running to the Palestinian border, returning 73 years later to a home we might have never seen, but we know we belong to. They are fighting and organizing against one of the most well-funded militaries and settler states in the world. The Zionist state uses Palestinians in Gaza as a captive population to be massacred in retaliation of the colonized and the oppressed rising up. The Nakba is ongoing because my parents grew up in Jordan, missing a home they've never seen. The Nakba is ongoing because this settler state has thrown its full weight and support behind it. This country does not want us, and nor do we want it. That isn't an uncommon feeling among Palestinians, to be nomads globally and for your roots to have never taken root in foreign soil. People are choosing genocide and apartheid over people's lives. People are choosing to empower the U.S. war machine, and it all comes from the same roots of white supremacy. Zionism is white supremacy, and white supremacy creates the greed and hoarding that values profit over the rights of people and land. I'm sharing with you stories of what my family went through during Nakba because we must take action against Zionism and settler colonial violence. We must heed the calls made by the Palestinian civil society to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. We must organize around unequivocal support for Palestinian struggle and liberation and resistance in all its entirety. We must go school by school, city by city, and build a strong transnational movement. As Hassan Kanafani said, imperialism has laid its body over the world, the head in Eastern Asia, the heart in the Middle East, and its arteries reaching Africa and Latin America. Wherever you strike it, you damage it, and you serve the world revolution. When colonized and oppressed people rise up to take their lands back, the parallels between our collective struggles become explicit. From Palestine to Colombia, from Turtle Island to the Philippines, from India to Afghanistan, we know that the settler state does not keep us safe. We keep us safe. We will fight for our collective liberation and we will win. Inshallah, today will be the last day we commemorate Nakba like this. I hope next year I can sit with my parents and my grandmother, with all my cousins and my aunts and my uncles, and be with each other, finally home in Palestine. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Today we are finally seeing what in some ways is a collective waking up. And it's important to thank where thanks due. The struggle for black liberation has always been the leading edge of increasing global awareness against injustices everywhere. It is no coincidence that the calls for justice over the past year in the wake of police brutality in this illegitimate country has increased people's awareness about the Palestinian cause. And we stand with the struggle for black liberation always, 100% as Palestinians. Your phones bring you images and videos of the latest bombings in Gaza. They bring you images and videos of the brutality at the Al-Aqsa holy site in Jerusalem, the occupied capital of Palestine. Your phones bring you videos of the resistance to forced displacement in Sheikh Jarrah and the uprisings all over Palestine. Will you continue to ignore history and the voices of the oppressed? Will you continue to accept the unacceptable and dehumanize the victims of atrocity? Will you continue to claim you did not see what is there in plain sight?
No.
I think the veil has been lifted, in part, and now is back to the question of ease.
Hello, everyone. My name is Zohair Salim. I've lived here for about 35 years in around Portland area. Thank you. Thank you very much for showing up. I'm so proud of you, so proud of the young people. So my parents were living in Be'er Sheva, which is in the south of Palestine. And that is where my grandfather got kicked out in 1948. He immigrated to Gaza. And then my father had to leave Gaza in 1967 just because there's another Nakba that came in and they took the territory. And then I had to go to Saudi Arabia to live because I got kicked out. And guess what? Saudi Arabia wasn't any better. And I got also sent in here so I live, to live my life. So as a Palestinian, and I'm sure all of you identify with this, you just, every generation gets kicked out of where they ever put their roots in. And then the Palestinians, we never get back. So any person that declares they're Jewish, they can go back to Israel anytime. As a matter of fact, they can take somebody's house. However, if you're a Palestinian and you leave there, there's no going back for you. And that is really where apartheid comes in. It is really, you know, people have the power to take other people's rights and other people's a right to live in their place and prosper. And it continues to go on and on and on. And I don't know if there is an end to it, but the only way you can end it is with this group, with this resistance, with this, with you telling people we are not accepting it. We have human rights and we go in America about fighting for human rights. But it comes to the people of Palestine, and we stop. Everybody, we always for the human rights, but we see the Palestinian kids, and we just look at them for a little bit and go. I'm not talking about this group, but the general population, and just we, we just accept that, you know, they're defending themselves. I keep hearing this thing constantly about Israel is defending itself, but never Israel had actually invoked this whole thing. That isn't in the news. It's always about defending itself. The Palestinians don't have the right to defend themselves. They're just shooting things and throwing rocks, and we're the troublemakers, and Israel is just defending itself. And that is not the truth. The truth is they are not defending themselves. They're the oppressors.
Really, even though our clay is made from our land, they want us to strand. They want to destroy our yesterday, and they still occupy, kill, and bind us today. They hold us accountable for their melancholy. Even worse, they take revenge by causing us an ongoing catastrophe. They are changing our demography, our topography. Yes, they plundered our history, time, and place, but we will never surrender our place. Thank you.
I moved here 9 years ago, and the first thing I knew was that the topic of Palestine outside of my door, outside of my home, was a taboo here in the U.S. And I just want to say that this brings me so, so much life to see all of you right now. And I also want you to know that each and every single one of you that is posting one single post that is speaking the truth is more important than you can ever, ever imagine. Those of you who are following the live feed, those who are following Instagram and who are following what's going on will know that every single person who is right now speaking up, they're not the politicians. They're actually Palestinian and Arab and social media influencers on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube. They are the ones that literally brought this to all of us to hear. One of the things that have been happening and that will happen and is happening right now is there's going to be a huge media blackout that's already started. Their Instagram is taking down posts. It takes down live feeds as they are coming out. You will literally see them fall like from Instagram. The people who are raising the banner and saying that things are happening, like, these are the reason you hear and see about what's going on, the videos, the all of this started because people reached out to people on social media, and every person in Gaza is literally sacrificing their life to bring you that picture. If you're not going to share, just bear witness. Just go and open that feed and look at what's happening, because I cannot believe that people died and got shot while I was watching them. I cannot believe that the difference between my brother in Jerusalem being dragged out of his car and the person he filmed was a road. That's it. My brother yesterday filmed people attacking a car, and the soldier who looked at him almost threw a grenade at him. That's in my neighborhood. That's literally in my neighborhood. One of the things you can do is if you see a video, save it. Like, not only like it and share it, save it before it gets taken down. The word Israel is a flag for Instagram. There are the word resistance in Arabic. They are literally taking down accounts of the person who started the hashtag Save Sheikh Jarrah. Any post that I post for her will be, like, you guys will see it as a sensitive content, even if she has a heart in it. That's what's happening. So social media, like, the people in Palestine, literally, like, I'm watching the feeds and they say, This is what's bringing them life. We have no army. We have nothing. We have literally the soldiers and the police, like, having the settlers be the first line so that they don't look bad to the media. Like, keep this alive, because soon enough, because you hear what the governments are saying, you hear what they are doing, nothing. So please, we're alive because y'all are alive with us. Watch, share, and speak up, just speak up. This is the time to speak up for us and for all of humanity.
There are 7 million Palestinians living in the diaspora. That's 7 million people that are denied the right to return to their homeland. This is all a direct result of the Nakba. This is all a direct result of the illegal establishment of Israel in Palestine. This is the Nakba. Every single bombardment, every single arrest, every single murder and eviction, that is because of Israel's establishment. So where do we go from here? You hear these stories, you see the parallels. I hope that you can ask yourself these questions. How have you all, generalizing here, but how have you all stayed silent for the 73 plus years that the Nakba has been going on? How has Israel and the US been so successful in their campaign to dehumanize Palestinians to the point that their killing is justified? We have seen the same cycle happen for 73 years. The same cycle of violence has happened over and over and over. We see it in America as well, with Black Americans being shot in the street. This has to end. 73 years is too long. 100 years is too long. I am, in a weird way, I'm privileged to live in the diaspora. Yes, that means I'm disconnected from my home, but that also means that I am not living under occupation and constant aggression. And because of that, it is my responsibility to educate people. It's my responsibility to my great-grandmother, to my grandfather, to my dad, to my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. It is my responsibility, and I know that a lot of other Palestinian Americans feel the same way. But that makes us easy targets. That means that if we are the only ones educating people about Palestine, that we will be blacklisted. We will be put on the Canary Mission. We will not be allowed back in to the West Bank to see our family. That's why you all have to speak up. This can't fall on Palestinians anymore. Make it impossible for the US and Israel to silence us. No longer can we be reactive. We can't wait for these events to happen and then respond. We need to be proactive in our actions. Enough with justice postponed. We demand justice for Palestine. We demand justice for Black Americans. We demand justice for the indigenous populations all across the world that are subject to ethnic cleansing. End the ongoing American imperial project in Latin America, in the Middle East, in Africa. This is a political crisis that we're in, and it demands political solution. End the Nakba. End catastrophe for Palestinians. This cannot go on. Boycott Israeli products. Divest from Israeli institutions and sanction Israel. Palestine will not and cannot be free in isolation. We need you all. Thank you.
You've been listening to the voices of Palestinians in Portland, Oregon, speaking on May 15th, 2021 in downtown Portland. For more information, to find out how to take action, to support the Palestinian people's right to self-determination, you can go to uscpr.org. That's the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, uscpr.org.